Welcome to Leading Organizations That Matter, a podcast on the topics of leadership, organizational culture, and finding meaning and purpose in our work. I'm Ray Spadoni, former CEO and current consultant, author, and speaker. Today's topic is like a drawer full of pens. This week, I'm going to read from my book, Saving Organizations That Matter, on the topic of diagnosing the organization's problem, or more likely problems. The section heading in my book is named, unsurprisingly, Diagnosis. Here goes. I have a good friend who has an entire kitchen counter drawer filled to the top with pens. The following is a scene I've watched play out more than once. The friend needs a pen, opens that drawer, and reaches inside into a jumble of writing instruments, including nice ones that may have been given to her as a gift on some memorable occasion, store-bought ones, and then several free ones which advertise local real estate agents, banks, or dentists. She will grab one, attempt to use it for its intended purpose, scratch and scrape a non-functioning pen across a piece of paper, discover it's non-functional, whether permanently or momentarily, and then toss it back into the drawer. I want to say, why don't you just throw the broken one out? Some organizations are just like that drawer filled with pens, though instead of writing instruments, their drawer is filled with programs, services, products, expansion initiatives, lost leaders, pet projects, and sacred cows. Some are good and function perfectly. Some need minor repairs or adjustments and can be salvaged, and others just need to be tossed. But years or decades of not dealing with the problem in real time has resulted in a complicated and unwieldy mess. Often, leaders in organizations do not deal with the broken pens in real time due to uncertainty or indecision, conflict avoidance, an overly elevated sense of higher purpose of mission, or the protection of personal stature and influence. They suffer from an abundance of problems highlighted in the Into Chaos section of this book. In the end, when organizations struggle, the time will come to open the drawer and to go through each pen one by one and determine their respective fates. That can be difficult, time-consuming, and politically charged. If the urgency is very high, then it may have to be completed quickly and imperfectly, possibly even very imperfectly, which in and of itself will be difficult for many. It will feel like fly by the seat of the pants type situation. Participants will need to be reminded that years of neglect, of tossing broken pens repeatedly into the mythical drawer without regard to their actual writing performance or true value, is what brought the organization to this point. The diagnosis phase, which often needs to be conducted quickly and imperfectly, must be completed to initiate an organizational transformation or turnaround. Here, the urgency level will matter. If the organization has more time, then a more thorough, careful, and inclusive process can follow. If time is running short, it's going to have to be done by a smaller and higher level work group. And no one should harbor any illusions that this process is going to be bulletproof and perfect. It won't be. And so communication strategies are going to need to emphasize the urgency factor. Here, the boat is at the edge of a waterfall, even though many in that boat won't yet know it. Many frontline staff are focused by design on their specific job requirements. Their positions don't allow them many opportunities to look up ahead of where their organizational boat may be headed. For some, they don't look out at their surroundings ever. Therefore, descriptions of what is happening to the organization and its challenges will need to be developed carefully. Otherwise, many will feel as though they have abruptly and without warning shifted from still water into white water, and that will be highly upsetting for them. Some will immediately begin to worry about their job stability. This form of communication whiplash should be avoided, as honest and clear communication is mandatory. I'll have more to say about communication in the next section. Struggling organizations often do not have data, analytical tools, or leadership experience to evaluate all programs and services. As noted above, this is one of the reasons for their struggle. How then, in the midst of performance challenges, can it begin to improve in this regard? There are three strategies. First, identify the resources that do exist in the organization and empower and support them to succeed. I have experienced firsthand situations when those responsible for analyzing performance were perfectly capable, but had historically been ignored or misunderstood. In one organization, I immediately began to search for analytical resources in the organization and met one person who had been hired a year earlier to do this exact work. When I interviewed her and reviewed her results, I was immediately impressed. I asked her why no one was aware of her work at higher levels in the organization, and she asked permission to speak frankly to me. When I told her that she could provide me with feedback without fear, she told me that she had presented her work on several occasions, but just did not feel as though the senior leaders understood her computations or agreed with her conclusions. To be fair, as a new analyst, I sensed that she was inexperienced in making such presentations and in converting complicated calculations into actionable steps for leaders. At that point, my task was to understand what she had been doing and then empower her to dig deeper and look at additional areas within the organization. Additionally, I mentored her to facilitate a better skill set in presenting her findings. Over the next 3 years, her contributions to that organization's turnaround were extremely valuable and highly impactful. The second strategy is to search for resources within the organization that are un- or underutilized. In one organization, a staff person in the information technology department responsible for programming and data mining had demonstrated a solid proficiency in utilizing the data he had been gathering and analyzing. With assistance from that organization's chief financial officer, he became a critical analytical resource for the turnaround. His job responsibilities were adjusted to accommodate the extra work he was being asked to complete. Third, if the resources cannot be found within the company, it will be necessary to bring in a consultant. I will address the issue of hiring consultants to help conduct a turnaround later in this book, but in this instance, I am specifically and only referring to analytical resources. Many consulting firms prefer to provide a comprehensive portfolio of services to facilitate a turnaround and will consider requests to provide only if the analytical perspective is too piecemeal and limiting. They will want to manage work processes, bring in experts as required, conduct benchmarking exercises, develop project management protocols, and in the process, generate large revenues for themselves. Again, that is not what I'm addressing here, as some organizations require all of those functions. I am addressing the need to deploy strong, on-site, analytical capabilities, and it will be critical to find a firm willing to offer just that. Some will see it as dipping a toe into a possibly larger pool, i.e., a more significant consulting assignment, and indeed, it may well end up being just that. But here, I want to emphasize that having analytical capabilities available for the diagnostic work is critical. It's likely that the firm will charge a retainer or per hour fee. Exercise caution and include mechanisms to prevent this from becoming overly expensive. For example, agree to a monthly budget and request warning notices if any month's billing hit 80% of the budget. This is a good business practice, and it will alert the consulting firm that someone is looking carefully at their invoices. Then, of course, someone should look carefully at those invoices. Okay, that's just one section of the book. I go into a lot more detail on how best to deploy those analytical resources to the efficient and effective benefit of the company. Saving Organizations That Matter is available on Amazon and as an audiobook on Audible. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you'll consider subscribing to this podcast and providing a review on Apple Podcasts or your platform of choice. Feel free to learn more about me and my work at redsailadvisors.com.